God has given me a grace this year in that this holiday season, He has allowed me to appreciate the thing for the thing. So in years past, I'm one of those people, I don't know if anybody can relate, but I'm one of those people that once I know how the hot dog's made, I have a hard time appreciating a hot dog. Right? That is when your eyes are open to the facts of the matter. Oh, yeah, but. Oh, I would do this in so many aspects of my life, right? I mean, it's kind of like, and this isn't one, well, this isn't one for me. We got several car guys in here. And what I mean by car guys, like they know what makes a car go and what might cause or prevent a car from going. And I know, hanging around car guys, that car guys can see a new car or a certain kind of car. And instead of going, hey, cool car, they're like, oh yeah, that has bad alternators. That electrical panel's not going to last 2 years. You know what I mean? Because you know how the hot dog's made, right? You can't appreciate it anymore. God gave me a grace this year, and here's what He did. Here's what He did this year. I have so enjoyed seeing Christmas lights everywhere. Everywhere. I just let myself enjoy it, right? And I know this is a grace because you know how I was in years past? You got to be kidding me. You know how much work that would have taken to put all those lights up? That guy's electric bill in January, he is going to regret that decision. So every year up to this year, that's me. I just see it and go, what a waste. I mean, you're putting lights up for 3 weeks. And this year I'm just like, oh, pretty lights. And now look, one of a couple things is happening. Here's the one I hope it is. It could just be that, well, I'm getting old, and who really wants to use all that energy finding all the negative and everything? Because it wears you out. Or number two, maybe, just maybe, God is bringing me to a place of faith where I can just appreciate the thing for the thing. And I'm enjoying that. I'm enjoying that. Sonny's dad. Sonny's dad appreciated everything for the thing. I mean, we'd get up and we'd have that coffee on the back porch together. And that coffee, that cup of coffee, that's the best cup of coffee we'd had all day. And we'd go out and we'd get to share lunch together. And that burger was the best grilled burger that we'd had all day. And it's taken me a while, but I can now appreciate His appreciation for everything. Because I'm a cynic. I got to know how the hot dog's made. And me, my weakness is that, well, if there's something negative, I'm going to notice it. And for a while now, at least I've bit my tongue and pointing it out most of the time. But now God is showing me a grace of, hey, why don't you just enjoy the thing? I've given this to you. Why don't you just enjoy it? Now, I still won't eat hot dogs, okay? That's just a bridge too far. But I love the fact that God is showing me in my faith that it can be as easy as this cup of coffee this morning. It's the best cup of coffee I've had all day. And I'm very thankful for it. So I'm enjoying the Christmas lights this year. I'm just enjoying them. Guess what? I didn't have to hang any of them. And I'm not going to pay their electric bill in January. They are. So I'm just going to drive home at 10 o'clock at night, and I'm just going to go, oh, pretty lights. And I'm just going to appreciate them. I'm just going to appreciate them. In fact, I told Sonny, I think I just told her today. I said, hey, I'm going to take you off that personal timer for the Christmas tree. Just let it go. Just let it be lit. Let it be lit. You know, God's first words in the Bible, His very first words, let there be light. Let there be light. He created in darkness, and His Spirit's hovering over the dark, and He says, let's bring some light. It was day and night, first day. So that's good. That's good. Throughout the whole story, what we see consistently in the Bible of what God has done, of what God is doing, and what God is going to do, throughout the whole story, God is bringing light to darkness. God is bringing light to dark places. And I have to confess to you that, again, some of my rational mind, or, you know, really just honestly, just some of my negativity and willingness to notice, you know, all the less than wonderful things of every situation, right? Someone says, hey, I got this. Oh, yeah, but you know, I got a promotion at work. Oh boy, that's gonna be a lot more headaches, right? Or again, I got the new car. Yeah, there's already a recall on that model, so good luck. instead of doing that, maybe God wants me to appreciate the light and say, you know, there's enough darkness. Maybe my energy needs to be spent in sharing the light. Let's start this morning in Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. In Isaiah 42, we get the first of what is, you've heard it called, or maybe you haven't, but these are, throughout Isaiah, they call them servant songs. And these are sections in Isaiah, prophecy about Jesus Christ. And this is, Isaiah 42 is the first one. This is the first, considered the first servant song. And it's, God's going to talk about Jesus in it, and then He's going to talk about Himself. And this one from Isaiah 42, this one's actually quoted in Matthew chapter 12 about Jesus. This is how we know that's what's going on here. But Isaiah 42, starting in verse 1, it reads like this. Isaiah 42, 1 says, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give it to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. So God says, I am bringing my servant to you. And God also speaks to his servant, to Jesus, and says, as I give you to the world, don't worry, I am going to hold your hand through everything. I'm going to be with you through everything. And I am doing this in verse 6. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness, I will take you by the hand and keep you, and I will give you as a covenant to the people and a light for the nations to open the eyes of the blind. Now, nations and people are two different things, Okay? So first God says, I am bringing you, that is Jesus' son, to Israel, God's original people. And God says, Jesus, I am giving you to Israel, our people, as a new covenant. Okay? They had the old covenant, and now they have a new covenant in you. And then God says, I am also giving you, Jesus, to the nations. That is, to all the people that are not Israel, to all the Gentiles. Okay? He says, I am giving you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to bring them out of their darkness and into the light. Church, that's God's heart. That is Old Testament God's heart saying, I love my people so much, I'm going to give them my son to give them a new covenant. That is to find forgiveness and righteousness through his life and his death and his resurrection. And this is also Old Testament God looking forward to all the other nations, that is to everyone else in all of creation, and he is saying, son, I am going to give you to all of those people because they're stuck in darkness. They are stuck in darkness, and you are going to be a light to them. They are stuck in fact, how does he describe the dark? It's like a dungeon, right? He says they're stuck in a dungeon of darkness. And you know from your own life and the lives of others around you what it is to live your life without Jesus, to not have hope, to be stuck in a dungeon, in a prison, whether it was of your own making or the making of someone else. And sometimes we come from very dark places. Places of pain, places of suffering. And sometimes we create our own suffering, don't we? We made bad decisions. We've sinned. We know what was good and we said, nah, I'm going to go this way. And sometimes we live in a prison of darkness that's not our own making, that someone else inflicts upon us and causes us pain and damage and suffering. Whether it be abuse or whether it be just mistreatment by someone else. We know those dark places and we know hope without Jesus. And God says, I am sending you, son, so we can bring some light to those places. It's not enough that we see those dark places and say, well, you know, some people are in the light and some aren't. Well, you know, there's some good places and there's some bad places. God loves so much that he says, I'm not going to leave that darkness alone. I'm going to it. And I'm taking light. I'm taking light because people are trapped. People are trapped. And again, church, you and I here as New Testament Christians, as followers of Jesus, as those who walk in this light, we can never forget how dark the darkness is. We can't forget how dark the darkness is. Number one, so we don't go back to the darkness. And number two, so that we have the right attitude and love for those that are in those dungeons. It is so tempting. It is so tempting to see people that are caught in those dungeons of dark and judge. Right? Well, they get what they deserve. They made bad decisions, and that's where they're at. And those people don't deserve the love of Jesus. Those people don't deserve the good grace that God provides. Well, they're not like me. They're not good people like me. I deserve the grace of God because I'm so good. We can't ever get to that place. We can't ever get to that place because that's not walking in the light. That's not walking in the light as the Bible describes it. 1 John chapter 1, Scotty read for us this morning, and Tony mentioned. 1 John chapter 1, John writes to the church, look, this is the message that we have from God. God is light. God is light. That's who he is. It's who he is, and it's what he does, and it's what he's done for us. And in him, there's no darkness at all. Not a little bit. Not a shadow. Not just one area. No, he is light. He is light. Everything is bright. Everything is shining. Everything is lit up. There's no room for darkness in him. And so verse 6 says, so if we say that we have fellowship with him, oh, I'm connected to Jesus. I'm connected to God. My sins have been forgiven, but I'm going to still walk over here in this darkness. Well, is God in that darkness? No. God is light. And so we can't say, well, I'm going to live my life in the light. I'm going to accept the light, but I still want to run around over here in the dark. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so John says, if we walk in the light, if we do that, we're lying to ourselves. We're not practicing truth. We're lying to ourselves. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But instead, if we live our life in the light of God, number one, we get to be connected with each other. We get to be connected with each other and not connected with each other in our sin. You ever had those relationships where you were bad news for each other, but you enabled each other to keep on doing bad? Those are not good, are they? No, because no one's looking at each other going, hey, you know what? We should probably stop this. No, I got someone else that's doing the same this as I'm into, and neither one of us are pulling our heads up high enough to say, hey, maybe this isn't the best place to be. So we walk in the light so that we can have fellowship with each other. And at the same time, our sins are being forgiven. Our sins are being forgiven. We're walking in the light not to say, oh, well, I don't make mistakes anymore. I don't miss the mark anymore. I don't sin anymore. I'm perfect. I've already got it all figured out, and every decision that I make is wonderful, and everything that I do for other people is perfect, and I always put others' needs before my own, and there's not a selfish part of me at all. No, together we're in the light, and our sins are forgiven, and we have fellowship with each other. Why? Because we're in the light of God. We're in the light of God. Let's turn over to John chapter 8. Now, in the book of John, light is alluded to a lot. He starts with it. He claims to be it. In fact, in John chapter 8, verse 12, this is one of Jesus' I am sayings. And in verse 12, Jesus spoke to them and said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life. That was back in Psalm that we read. And the very last verse of David's psalm this morning was, we recognize all these things so that we can live our life in the light of life. And Jesus says here now, hey, that light of life, that's me. That's me. I am the light that brings life. I am the light that is life. Church, we walk in the light. We avoid the darkness because that's being alive. That is truly being alive. That's what life is. Life is being with our Creator. Life is understanding that temporary, what I consider highs or thrills or joys, those things are temporary if they are outside of God. And chasing things that are not God are going to leave me empty. And people that are sitting in darkness, they're right there. They're right there. Now, they may not realize it yet. They may not realize the effects of their sin. They may not be honest with themselves or even say, why would I have need of a Savior? I'm fine. And everyone that thinks they're fine, they don't know their need for a Savior, do they? No, they don't. They don't. But that doesn't mean we say, oh, well, okay, well, they're fine. I mean, they're in darkness. They're away from God. But they say they're fine, so I'm just gonna leave them be. Does that absolve us? Does that somehow just make us not culpable for anyone else's soul? Does that, oh, okay, well, I checked. They said they're good, so I'm not gonna tell them about Jesus. We can't do that, can we? No. No, we can't do that. We can't do that. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You ever met someone that said, oh, I mean, I'm not, you know, a Christian like you, but I'm fine. Not according to the Bible. I mean, I don't follow Jesus. I'm not crazy about this stuff, but you know, my grandma went to church, so I'm sure Judgment Day is going to be fine. That may be someone that you need to have a conversation with, right? We may need some education. Because Jesus says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. All right. The Pharisees said, hey, look, we can't believe you because you're talking about yourself. And his response is, even if I do bear witness about myself in verse 14, my testimony is true because I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. You don't know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Jesus looks at them and says, I mean, they basically try to use the law against Jesus and said, hey, we can't trust what you're saying because, you know, you're just one witness. And Jesus says, I come from the Father. I know where I came from. I'm going back to the Father. I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. You and I, go ahead, try to prove something before you were born. I mean, go for it. He says, you don't know. You don't know anything. You judge according to the flesh, your life. You judge according to the flesh. What I know, what I can experience, what witnesses that I trust. Jesus says, I'm not going to judge, but I know the truth. I know the truth because that's where I came from and that's where I'm going back to. And so Jesus calls everyone and he says, I am the light of the world. Follow me and do not walk in darkness. All right, so great calling, right? We're followers of Jesus. We want to walk in the light. How are we going to do this? How are we going to accomplish this? How are we going to make this our day-to-day life? Because light is so much better than dark. Light is so much better than dark. And again, whether it is I'm walking in righteousness as opposed to being stuck in a sin, or I have a thankful heart and I am just glad of everything God has given me, or, yeah, I can be more of a negative person. Whatever your thing is, light or dark, what do you want? Jesus says he's light. He says that's better. He says darkness is no good because that's away from God. Away from God. Yeah, away. One word. Away from the presence of God. There we go. All right, turn over to Romans chapter 13. Let's figure out how to do this. And again, you know how you don't like hanging out with some people because they're just negative about everything? You know how you don't like always hanging around positive people because they're always positive about everything? I know. Sometimes we need some of that, don't we? Yeah, sometimes we do. Sometimes we need to hear some positive. We need to live some positive. We need to have some. Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul says, all right, how are we going to figure this out? Romans 13, verse 11. Romans 13, 11 says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. All right, so the Apostle Paul says, hey, look, you know what time it is. You know what time it is. Salvation is nearer now than it was yesterday. We are getting closer to something, and that something is the return of Jesus. That something is the time when time will be no more, and every soul will stand before the King. That's getting here. It's getting closer. We're almost there. And again, whether it takes another 1,000 years or it happens tomorrow or this afternoon, whenever it is, it's closer. So Paul says, because it is closer, you know what kind of people we need to be. We've wasted enough time in darkness. We've wasted enough time being the kind of people that we used to be. We wasted enough time being away from God. We wasted enough time doing those things that we should not be doing. And again, he mentions sins of the flesh, but he also mentions sins of the mind and the heart, right? He says we do not be involved in those things that are externally sinful, those things those parties and those sexual sins that we don't need to be, allow ourselves to be involved in. He says, but we also don't need to be fighting. We don't need to be jealous of each other. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. And so now darkness has gone and the light has come. You know what time it is. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? Well, let's go back. Verse 12. There's a highlighter verse if there was one. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let's cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. What's the job of armor? Protection. Protection. Look, we've spent enough time in the dark, so we cast off the things of the dark. We say, no more. That is not me anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to live it. I'm not going to be there anymore. But what happens when that temptation to return to the darkness happens? Because it does, right? The temptation to return to the darkness. And whether it's sins of the flesh or sins of the mind or sins of the heart, it's always coming back. The darkness is always trying to come back and get us. What do? Light is a protection. Light is a protection. Why? You ever notice things about the dark? Doesn't do so well in the light, does it? If I'm walking in the light, I am protected by the light. If I am following Jesus closely, I am protected by Jesus. So no one can say, oh, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm still going to be over here, and I'm going to be hiding out doing these dark things over here. But salvation, yeah, I'm all good. That's the lie we tell ourselves. He says, no, when you're walking in the light, you are protected by the light. It protects your heart, protects your mind, it protects your body and your soul. Because darkness will not dare. Darkness can't get close because it'll get exposed. If it comes out into the light, everyone goes, whoa, see that, see that? Not good. Not good. That's darkness. This is why we have all these warnings. Which is why we live our life in the light. We don't play games with God. We're not going to fool Him. And in the end, we know we're not going to fool ourselves. I mean, we can try. We try to lie to ourselves. No, I'm a Christian, but, you know, I still want some of this. I'm a Christian, but I'm still going to be involved in that. I walk in the light, but, you know, I just got this little corner of darkness over here. No. No. If I want the light to protect me, and what does protection insinuate? It insinuates danger, does it not? If I need to be protected from something, that insinuates that something can cause damage to me. So if the light is my protection from the darkness, then I better take the darkness seriously. I better take it seriously and not think that I can just have a little darkness. Have a little darkness. All right. John chapter 1. We'll close it out here. Because John does such a good job of describing this for us. We're going to arm ourselves in light. We're going to be protected from the darkness by being close to Jesus. Not just claiming proximity to Jesus. Not just having Jesus as Messiah, but also having Jesus as Lord, right? I'm going to let him save me from my sins. I'm also going to let him be the master of my life because he knows what to do with it better than I do, and he can control it better than I can. In John chapter 1, in speaking of Jesus, starting in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Church, here's the wonderful thing. Here's the wonderful thing about the light. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus doesn't lose. Jesus doesn't lose. Jesus doesn't lose. I mean, maybe that, somebody needs to write a song. If I was a hymnalist, is that a word? Yeah, good enough, right? Hymnist, victory in Jesus. Yeah. We should just chant about an hour straight, Jesus doesn't lose. Jesus doesn't lose. Jesus doesn't lose, because maybe that'll stick in our hearts. And we'll remember this week when we are tempted to say, ooh, I don't know how Jesus is going to get me out of this one. Well, Jesus doesn't lose. Ooh, I don't know how we're going to meet this need in our lives. Jesus doesn't lose. Oh, I don't know how much longer I got to feel guilty about my past. Jesus doesn't lose. That's what John's saying here. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. But how many times do we look at life and we think darkness is winning, right? We do. We think all the time. We look at the world around us and going, oh boy, it's all awful. Everything around us is darkness and terrible and sin and evil. Well, yeah. But just like Tony pointed out, when the population was 2, guess what? There was only evil and darkness. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. But how are we going to look at it? How are we going to look at it? Are we going to live our lives being those who just go around pointing the obvious of the darkness? Right? Oh, look at the beautiful lights. Oh yeah, I bet that electric bill's a fortune. Yay. Yay to be around you today. Right? So what if we walk in the light? What if we confess that we trust that darkness is not going to overcome the light? And what if we live each and every day safe in the light, joyfully in the light, spreading the light, sharing the light? Just saying the word that many times, you start to feel it. Everything feels a little bit lighter. Feels a little bit lighter. And we start taking the promises of Jesus seriously. And when he says, hey, I'm going to take care of everything because I have taken care of everything, then we just go, okay, I'm going to let Jesus take care of this. Well, how can you do that? Well, he said he would. But no buts. I'm going to let Jesus take care of this. Well, then, well, what are you going to do with all that extra time? Oh, I don't know. Maybe be like Jesus? Wait, what? And again, doesn't it, church, come back to, you know, what we've been saying for a long time? Jesus takes care of us so we can take care of others. That's what he does. He takes care of us so we can take care of others. Because all this time and energy that I am not worried about how God is going to see me through, I can actually start to look around at other people and go, ooh, I recognize darkness. You need some light. Oh, I recognize darkness. You need some light. But aren't you afraid of going over there? No, because the darkness isn't going to overcome the light. Jesus said so. So I'm not scared. I'm not worried. I'm not fearful for myself. I can truly be a disciple of Jesus. I can truly be a follower of Jesus and go in those dangerous dark places because the light, I'm walking in the light. Yeah, now I'm encroaching on the darkness's territory, but it's to bring light. It's to bring light. I'm no longer going there to hang out, to do dark things. I'm bringing light. Well, aren't you afraid of the darkness? No. Why not? Because Jesus says, don't be afraid. Yeah, but don't you understand all the logistics and all the danger of all of that? Lights. Sometimes we truly have to have the innocence and faith of a child to follow Jesus where he calls us to be. Right? And sometimes our adult minds and all our sophisticated selves just gets in the way. It just gets in the way. He calls us to trust. He calls us to trust. Church, he calls you to the light. He calls you to the light. If you're not a Christian this morning, Jesus has died to take all your darkness away. He has died to take your sins away. And so we invite you to come to the light. And if you are in the light, church, then we encourage you, walk in the light. Don't deceive yourself. If you're playing with darkness, stop it. Stop it, because you're just going to get hurt. You're just going to get hurt. And if you are walking in the light and you're like, oh, I got this. I don't worry about those sins of the flesh that we read about. I don't worry about those sins of the mind and the heart. I'm good. Excellent. Then start spreading the light. Start taking the light to dark places. All right? If you trust Jesus enough to save your soul, then do what Jesus does and reach out for others. So, there it is. Something for all of us. Something for all of us.